morning to each one. Welcome to the worship service here. I greet you all in Jesus' name. This morning, I have a few words here. Thank you, Marlon, for what you shared there. I think this will go with it to build on that. But I think he's probably the only one that's tired this morning. So, this morning I would like to share a few words to stir our minds in the way of worship. To worship the Lord daily in our lives. I was thinking of this quote here at the front of our hymn book, Hymns of the Church. William Temple, he said, "To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the will of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God." And we could break that down there. There's many aspects of that, but it includes the whole. It encompasses the whole of worship. Our conscience being the spirit within us, our mind, the daily renewing, renewing your mind by the Spirit of God, purging the imagination, thinking of thoughts and imaginations, taking thoughts captive, casting down imaginations that exalt themselves against God, to open our heart to the love of God. We have to be willing to receive. I think each of us realize what that's like, those of us that are married. And then also, if you're not married, but in a family setting, there's love shown to us, and we can either close our hearts to that love, or we can open our hearts and receive it. And that's when others do things for us, and not necessarily because we deserve it, but because they love us. And that's how salvation is. It's not that we deserve it, but with the love of God, He wants to reach out to His people in creation. And to devote the will to the purpose of God. having a purpose, our will, committed to the Lord to serve Him. So with that, I would like to work my way through Psalm 145. We'll see a good bit of reading to do here. We'll see where we get in our time frame. Not take away from the other brothers here. I will probably do 5 verses at a time, and then I have a few things on each verse here, different scriptures to turn to, and just to stir our minds in the way of worship. Psalm 145, verse 1. "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works." Verse 1, another word for extol, to praise, to lift up. David was making a choice here. to lift up the name of God. He would bless His name forever and ever. It's an act of worship. Going on to verse 2, His choice to daily. "Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever." Thinking of what Marlon shared, "Be not weary in well-doing spiritually." The choice to daily take up a cross to follow Christ. There's a lot that comes at us through a week. And I know, like for myself, a lot of times when I'm asked to share, it seems like that week has its share of challenges as we're considering sharing and thinking on what we could speak on. And the enemy likes to attack. Verse 3. "Great is the Lord." This, I also want to just lift up the power of God and to bring our hearts to a place of reverence here. and greatly to be praised. His greatness is beyond our understanding. Thinking of that a little bit, unsearchable, past finding out, beyond our understanding. When we think of creation and His handiwork, it's amazing, it's magnificent. One generation shall praise Thy works to another and shall declare Thy mighty acts. And so as we, I was thinking on that, generation to generation, the passing on. We have young ones coming up. My wife and I have three little ones. There's many children represented here. But the choice to pass on from generation to generation the works of the Lord, to declare His mighty acts, they need to see the power of God in our lives. If we are sharing something with them that is not present and that our lives don't represent, how will they see that? How will they grab a hold of that? Verse 5, I will meditate or ponder of the glorious splendor, greatness of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. Meditation, considering, thinking, just as we go through life, it does as well to stop and consider. Going on to the next five verses here. Before I go there, I wanted to flip back to Psalm 19. Get done some memory here with my oldest son. In the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. So in thinking of creation and God's wonderful works, I wanted to share that. Verse 6 through 10 here. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness, and shall sing of Thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. Verse 6, another word there for terrible. I've just gone through these. I know it's not something new, but I appreciated the different words here when we could take terrible as bad, or we could take terrible as the sense here, meaning awesome. Just, men shall speak of the might of Thy awesome acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. There again, David was making the choice, him personally. He says, I will declare Thy greatness. And I was thinking of sharing with others. You know, we can do that, but we need to do it. Others can do it, but if we don't, it's not coming from our mouth. And the Lord desires that we declare His greatness. Verse 7, they shall abundantly and... Abundantly there, eagerly utter, literally bubble forth the memory of Thy great goodness. I was thinking of an artesian well, the aspect of a well bubbling forth. There's one in recent memory that I personally saw up off of 13 there, south of Syracuse on the east side of the road, but the couple years that I've gone by there, that well continues to bubble forth, and it's just a continuous flow. Bubble forth a memory of thy great goodness, and sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. With that, I would like to turn back to James chapter 5 and pull a verse there, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate, or pitiful, and of tender mercy. Just lifting up the mercy of the Lord. Back to verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. I wanted to turn to Lamentations, a verse that I think about frequently. 3, starting in 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. And I just try to remember that through life. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. They were new this morning. They were new yesterday morning. But we were gifted a new day again today. And just what Marlon was speaking on yesterday there. You want me to use this one or here? No. It was a blessing there, but as he was speaking of marriage, and there was a lot there, but to examine our own lives and homes, and God's mercy is there as well. As my wife and I have been together 5+ years here, but we're in need of that mercy. I have my weaknesses, as we all know we do, and he spoke on meekness there last, as was heard last Sunday as well. Meekness, I tend to focus on other mistakes quicker than my own, but to realize that God's mercies extend to me in my weakness as well. Verse 10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Just thinking of all creation. And Jesus spoke there, one of the Gospels, that if the men around him wouldn't worship the Lord, the rocks and the hills would cry out, the rocks and the trees would worship him. And we're getting into spring. I think of the birds. You go out in the morning, the birds are freshly awakened and beginning to sing their praise to the Lord. Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. I want to turn back to Ephesians chapter 3. And he was sharing on the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. 9 and 10 here. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold or many-sided wisdom of God. His power extends to the church, making known to all men, to the intent that the principalities and powers that be would see the manifold wisdom of God, seeing that grace extended in and through our lives. Verse 12, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. I'm sorry, I was going to read the 5 verses there together. I'll do 12 through 15 here. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Getting ahead of myself there a little bit. Thinking of Isaiah 52:10. So in verse 12 there, he was making known to the sons of men his mighty acts, the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Flip over to Isaiah 52, and you don't have to turn to all these. I have a number of them. Verse 10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The mercy and the grace of God extends to the ends of the earth. Verse 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Pull two verses from Psalm 90 to go with that. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, thou hadst formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And you know, there's themes repeated here throughout Psalms, but I thought that went well with verse 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures throughout all generations. We have a small window of time that we live. There's homes created. There's a wedding yesterday, a new home. We're here, and we pass, and the next generation comes. The generations preceding before us. My grandparents on Dad's side are both gone. Mom's side, they're still here. But it's amazing how swiftly time passes. We're not promised tomorrow. And to make each day count. Verse 14. A few references to go with. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Also going to turn back to Isaiah 42, verse 3. This verse has been an encouragement in my life over the years. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Thinking of if someone is struggling today, the Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. You think of a bruised reed, it's standing and then it's hanging. It got damaged. But it could be hanging over, whether it be a flower or a reed by the waterside, as in a cattail or so. But it says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. In order to have a smoking flax, there has to be a flame. He won't quench that. He will fan the flame if we're willing to open our hearts to him. Back to Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I know I don't have time to expound on all these things, but I was thinking of the Lord's hand not being shortened, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Back again to the Lord upholdeth all those that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Thinking of the scripture in Hebrews 12:12, I'll quote here. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. A reason for courage, because the Lord will uphold us. He'll raise us up. And we can do that. The hands get heavy, the knees get weak. Responsibilities of life, family, daily life can weigh on us. But take courage. The eyes of all, verse 15 here through 20, The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but the wicked will he destroy. The eyes of all look expectantly upon thee, having an expectation of what God will do. Anticipation. Thinking of the simple fact, I think we can relate, when Daddy comes home at night. The children, the eagerness, the anticipation. Their eyes are looking and they're ready to meet Daddy. And that's always a blessing in our home there. You have the responsibilities of work and such, but the joy of innocence. The children that come, the hands outstretched, the love that's flowing there. Thou givest them their food in due season, the Lord taking care of his sheep. Verse 16, thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. Back to James for one more verse, 1 verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We could go on there. But he opens his hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing, thinking of every good and perfect gift. It's amazing the things that we're gifted daily that we don't necessarily always think of, but the fact that we woke up this morning, the Lord gave us strength to come into his house. I'm always amazed at the physical aspect of the human body, and even we see the animals around us, the breath of life, the blood that flows through our veins. We could go on. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. And instead of holy there, the word connotates gracious. I was thinking of that. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and gracious in all his works. I appreciated that thought. Holy as well, but there's a different meaning for the word there than when we generally think of holy. But the graciousness of the Lord. And I need that reminder for myself in relating in my home. How does the Lord relate to me? How do I relate to my children? Is it gracious or not? We heard yesterday, when difficult things arise and there's things that come between us, it can be, the natural response is to continue to butt heads and we want to have the last word. But sometimes we maybe should just walk away and simply allow those things, the Lord to work those things out in our own heart. And then we can be gracious in that aspect. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. So I get it here. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It takes a seeking, but the Lord is nigh. Also another scripture I won't turn to, but the Lord is not far from every one of us. That was in Acts 17:27, that verse. But the condition there, seeking the Lord, calling upon him while he is near, thinking of the window of opportunity. His mercy is extended, His grace. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. When we return, he will have mercy upon us and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The Lord is willing to extend his hand of grace and mercy. 19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. How is that for us? Our children, do we hear their cry? Do we help them? It's just a small glimpse of what the Lord will do for his children. The Lord is willing to fulfill that desire of those that fear him. And that's what he requires of us, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. That fear. He will hear their cry and will save them. I wanted to pull a few verses from Psalm 34. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Again, as we're going through here, to think of worship and to glorify the Lord for his goodness. Verse 20, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. Verse 37, for the end of that man is peace. That's of those that love him, but the wicked will he destroy. 37 verse 17, the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Appreciating those promises. I had just a few verses there from the New Covenant we could go on. I did miss a few. Backing up to 18, I was thinking of seeking the Lord. Matthew 11, Jesus' invitation to come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and he will give us rest. I missed those there. And then in John 6:37, he that cometh to him, the Lord will in no wise cast out, just as further encouragement to the Lord being nigh to them that call upon him. And then verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. With that, I wanted to go to Psalm 8, a verse that I think of as I walk through life. Psalm 8, verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. In verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thinking of these things, what is man that the Lord is mindful of us, and the Son of Man that he visits us? In light of these things, when we think of the whole of his creation, that he would delight in a personal relationship with you and I, what are we that mean that the Lord would come to us and he's mindful of us? It's of his mercies, again, that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. So I will leave you with that, and I pray that you were edified and encouraged.